all these things in life that you go through, that when you go in prayer, that there's a God that answers back. And we're not just worshiping in vain, that we're not just coming to a building to warm the seats and so forth, but there's a God that actually is alive and on the scene. And he's not just a historical God, but he's the same God that he was back then. He's still the same God. Now, we've got the videos and the pictures of things that supernatural lights that, you know, that were expressed in Brother Branham's life and whatnot. But yet that same pillar of fire, if you go really study it out, that same pillar of fire is with the bride today. It's not just on the wall. It's actually here in the building, because he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, as that just flows right in from remember them which have the rule over you. And we study it out. It's not just a man telling you what to do or how to dress yourself or how to clothe yourself and whether to cut your hair or not cut your hair and all those things. But it's the word of God that's claiming your life, that when it grabs a hold of you, it's doing something in you. And it's causing you to react to that unseen force, the God of the universe, that he's actually having an effect on you. And you start believing him. You believe him, and when you believe him, something happens. Now, there's when you really begin to understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you know that there's a God that's going to answer back when you pray, you're believing, not just throwing your words out when you get on your knees and pray, but you believe that God is going to hear your prayer and answer back. Now, that ties in with Matthew 24:35, that says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That means all the earth might rumble in an earthquake and fall to the ground. God might take everything away from you like Job did. But I love that scripture in Job. Will Satan say, will Job serve me for naught? And the answer is yes. Yes, I will serve God if everything's taken away. You can say that same confession like Job did. I'll serve him if I don't have nothing. Because listen, when everything's taken away, when all of heaven and no more heaven and earth, if it was all passed away, God's words will never pass away. Now that's having confidence that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we're believing in an unchanging God that's still present today. So now, Brother Branham, when he explained that scripture that I just read, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, he used the example in that message, why it had to be shepherds, of Moses there with the serpent that he threw down in front of Pharaoh, the staff that he tossed down in front of Pharaoh. Let's just read that story real quick. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 8, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also caused the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, I grabbed that little screenshot of the scene from that Ten Commandments movie of them acting this out. Now, you think about, though, that they're acting out. They're acting out a story that you and I are going to live through. You find out as you go through life that these stories become real because I'm living through that. You know, you're going through it. You can look back and be reminded of these things, and think about what's happening now that Moses, he's God told him what to do. Aaron throws down his rod, and then something unexpected happens. What? Here comes some fakers, and they throw down their rods too, and it looks like they're doing the same thing. Now what? Now there's the question. Now what? Are you going to believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you going to try to put your hand in it and force the issue, try to do something, try to come up with your own way of doing it? Or are you going to step back and let God go to work? Now, here's the two Janus and Jambres throwing theirs down. Put yourself in Moses and Aaron's shoes. If you were in their spot, what would you do? Would you panic? Maybe you're going through a situation in life right now. What are you going to do? Panic? Is God's word true? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's what it means. That's what I'm talking about. He's the same. He's still the same. It doesn't matter if the devil throws something unexpected in your path. Something unexpected happens. Sit back and wait. Faith is what I'm talking about. Remember them that have the rule over you, because they give you the word to build up your faith, to believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when something like this happens, you can stand in confidence believing that God is still on the scene. Now, think about all the things Moses could have done. Moses and Aaron could have reached out and grabbed the other snakes. I'm impatient. I guess we're going to have to do this another way. Reach out and grab the snake, and let's try to pick up Aaron's staff. They could have prematurely tried to negotiate with Pharaoh through their natural abilities of persuasion. Well, if God won't come on the scene, I'm just going to have to try to use my natural wisdom and try to talk him into it. Sought out other ways to convince the Israelites of their mission, or to pressure Pharaoh into letting the Israelites go. They could have tried to act independently of God's will, which would have threatened their divine favor with God. Now, see, as Christians, we're relying totally on God. God is our everything. You go back through all these stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not by anything that man does. It's not by your own works of righteousness. It's not by anything that you do. We'll find out even in a minute when you're trying to talk to your children, to witness to them. It's not really anything that you do can do. You're totally relying on your faith and God to go to work. And when you step back, like Moses and Aaron did, and say, well, God, you're going to have to do something, because I can't do it. And then that's when you see God go to work. When you don't have nothing to do in it, then you can have confidence that it is God, that God is doing something. They could have impatiently acted on their own, which would have undermined their leadership. Then when all the Israelites would have been, what's going on? You said such and such, and it didn't come to pass, and you jumped the gun. And had Aaron and Moses not waited for God to move, their mission could have faced premature failure due to a lack of divine endorsement, miraculous signs, and the authority they needed to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But they waited.
Yes.
They just waited.
Amen.
Just sit back and wait on God. Now, there's a lesson. No matter what situation we're in, you come to a place where, and that's what the whole Christian journey is, self-sacrifice. Right. You'll find out, you know, even Jesus said that Judas, he thought that Jesus could get himself out of that predicament.
Right.
He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and he thought that, well, Jesus, he's extricated himself out of these predicaments before. He'll get himself out of this one. But he didn't realize that Jesus was going to die. Death, self-sacrifice is it's like the essence of the Christian journey. That's where Peter got hung up when Jesus was talking to him, and he said, Peter was arguing with him about going to the cross, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because he was speaking contrary to the will of God, which was to die. And you and I have to die too. We've got to die to our own will. That's really what prayer is. When you get alone with God and you're laying yourself down on the altar of sacrifice and you're saying, God, not my will. Just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was saying, Father, not my will, not my will, but thine be done. You're laying everything down and saying, God, you got to take control. You got to work things out. It's past my ability. It's past my understanding. You've got to move on the scene, just like Moses and Aaron. Now, there's the essence of he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to ask you maybe this morning, do you believe that? It's not just something that we quote, but when you go out of this building today, are these words going to really echo in your heart, that when you come into a situation like Moses and Aaron are here getting confronted with the devil's reaction, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe what God said? Or are you going to put your own will to it? Are you going to put your hand to it? Try to solve the situation yourself, or trust in a living God. And why it had to be shepherd, Brother Branham said, that staff itself had turned into a serpent before Pharaoh, and the same Pharaoh tried to mimic by magicians. And so does the modern Pharaohs of today.
Amen.
And make-believers, carnal impersonators of the message,
Amen.
Try to mimic the same thing without knowing where it's coming from. And throw it into some denominational something when it's as free from it as the air is from being penned up.
Amen.
Sure, but try to mimic. Make a mimic. But notice this same shepherd's staff eat up the other snakes. Where was them snakes set? They were rods on the floor. And there was only one rod picked up. Both heavens and earth shall pass away, said Jesus. But my word shall not. Isn't that something to think about? You whatever your problem is, if you trust in God, you'll find out, like Moses and Aaron did, their problems are gone. When they picked that rod up, they were gone because they trusted in God. They got swallowed up in victory because his word will not fail. He's still the same. He's still the same that he always was. Now let's think about that theme as we're going through the scripture, that it's not us, it's not our own abilities, it's not our ability to kind of... In Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. It's the Lord. Now there's a Christian way, is to step back, and step back and believe and watch God do it.
Amen.
Watch God go to work. I love to watch God go to work. There's so many times I could start going through all the experiences in my life, and it sounds like I'm being boastful, but I've seen God work so many times. When you get down in your prayer closet and you see maybe your kids doing something they shouldn't, get down and the next morning the situation will be changed because you didn't have nothing to do with it. Your hands are off of it. But God went to work and began to move and something happened. And why? Because he's still the same. He's still the same that he always was. Now look, I know this is really hard to read, but I'm just going to quickly relate some of these stories. Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. How's Moses going to part the Red Sea? Him and the Israelites watched as God parted it. The fall of Jericho, they just marched around. They marched around and shouted at the end of the march, but it was God that caused the walls to come down. And Joshua and the Amalekites, when they held up Moses' hands, as long as they held up Moses' hand, why should that have an impact on the victory? Because Christ, his hands were held up on the cross and he died for us. He's the one that paid the price on the cross. And Moses, there was typifying what Christ would one day do for us on the cross as his hands were held up. See, it's not us. It's God. It's our trust in God to fight the battle. When Sennacherib came up against Hezekiah and an angel came and went down into the camp and defeated all the Assyrians. And Hezekiah didn't have nothing to do with it. All they did, to think that's what the Christian journey is, to just watch and sit back and watch and see God go to battle for you. What a joy that should be in our lives, to have confidence in a living reality of a God that could go to battle for you. And you ain't got to do nothing but just have faith in him. Jehoshaphat's big victory when Jehoshaphat was told by a prophet of the Lord that the battle was not theirs, but it was God's. All they had to do was take up their position, stand seal, and receive the deliverance the Lord would give him. Peter, when he got up out of prison, the gates opened by themselves, and all what were they doing at home? Praying. They were in their prayer closet, praying and sacrificing their will to God and saying, Lord, we believe you. And God went on the scene and wrought a victory for them. And all they had to do was believe. The fiery furnace when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in there. And they just had confidence that God would come on the scene, and he did. And Gideon against the Midianites. Gideon with 300 men. 300 men. And all he did was just have trust in God. And Daniel in the lion's den. You see, because it's not by our power. It's not by our might. But it's the spirit of the Lord that wins the battle. That's that scripture in Zechariah 4. I put this picture just so we can visualize what Zechariah is saying here. When he said, an angel come and woke him up. And he said, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. That sounds familiar. With a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof, which Brother Brown said meant represented the Old and New Testament. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what gives us our strength is these words that are represented in the Old and the New Testament that God is empowering our lives with, like this is a symbol of. It's His Spirit working in our lives that we're having confidence in Him to do and to work and to deliver. In Psalm chapter 37, it says, Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Just rest in God. Fear thou not, Isaiah 41, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen.
Now again, what we're talking about is He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we really believe that, we'll have that kind of faith to believe that He's still on the scene. In Psalm chapter 62, it says, My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I like this one, Psalm 46, the one we've got over the on the ceiling there. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Isn't that interesting that a lot of times when you're still, when you just stop trying to do something, that's when God goes to work. God goes to work when you take your hands off the situation. God goes to work when you take a step back and let God do something. And questions and answers, she said, I just went through. Now, I know I've read this story before, but I want to kind of belabor this because this is the essence of how a Christian goes to battle with the devil. He said, I've just went through the experience with my Rebecca. See, just commit it to God. Just commit it to God. That's what we struggle with. Like, we got to figure it out how to fix things. But just give it to God. He said, when she got to be a little teeny, and she was going with some girl, and when we first went out there, going, run over to some girl's house, taking piano music lessons. And this girl, I come by one day, and here this girl was sitting there at the piano playing rock and roll. Well, that was just enough for me. So I told her, stay away from over there, see? And then she said, well, it's the only place I got to go to take music. You know how teenies get. And I said, hey, every kid has to go through that. Now, that's some encouragement for parents. It's that little phase of life when you're like, what's going on? But practically everyone goes through that age. I sure remember when I went through that age. And I sure remember when my kids went through that age. I remember when my brother went through that age. We all go through that age, that little period. You did, I did, and we got to think their thoughts. So then a few days after that, her mother got after her for something, and she sashed her. Now, that's not Rebecca at all. Took off and slammed the door almost and knocked the things off the wall, went to school. Now, I ought to have seemingly just taken my belt off. Isn't that right where our mind goes a lot of times?
Right.
Boy, I'm going to do it the old school way. We're going to get a barrel slat, and we're going to go to town. But look what he's saying. Put your thought and think about what they're going through. I just taking my belt off and followed her out there in the yard and brought her back with warps around her. See, but I thought, wait a minute. I got to think 18-year-old thoughts. See, now I said, Mother, I know that. She started crying. Mita, I said, now I know you've done all you can do. Now, there's Moses and Aaron. I know you've done all you can do. When you've done all you can do, no matter what the situation is, it's time to trust God. I've done all I can do. Now, if it's out of our hands, we have to take the next step. And then she started that. I took Mita about an hour. I said, Mita, take your hands off. Now, isn't that Moses and Aaron? Take a step back and let God do something. I can't do nothing. What if I do something, it's going to mess everything up. If you take that belt off, it's sure going to mess everything up.
Right.
Yeah. See, just it's Moses and Aaron all over again. Me, that's my kid. I said, isn't it mine too? All right, I said, if she was dying this morning, you'd have to commit her to God for her eternal destination. Why can't we commit her to God now for her earthly journey? And she said, well, that's my kid. I said, it's mine too. I said, now, can you take your me not saying nothing to her? I said, I never said that. We'll quit scolding her, just advise her. Why? Because God's going to do something. Hey, you ever notice when you're witnessing somebody, somebody's just really on your heart, they start getting upset, and maybe they'll get a little ornery. Why? Because something's there's a battle taking place. You just step back and let God go to work. God can do it a whole lot more than we can. And now, look, I just made some bullets of some of these main points that he's saying. He said, I never said that. We'll quit scolding her, just advise her. And he said, she needs a buddy, and you're the one to be her buddy. You and I, we're her parents. I said, Mita, take your hands off. Now see, sometimes though, let's balance it out. We got to have a standard in our home. I want to have a standard in my home, but at the same time, I want God to be able to go to work. That's difficult sometimes to articulate, right? Where you want to have a standard where you can't come in my house smoking marijuana. You can't come in my house, you know, watching stuff that you're not supposed to do and all that kind of, but at the same time, we back up enough to let God go to work. And God will go to work. And questions and answers, she said, so there we got down on our knees and committed it to God. I said, I know. Now, we struggle with that. Turn it over to God and let God do something. I said, I know she's 18 years old, will be in a few days, and she and a girl that age will think about boyfriends, and we've kept her in. I said, I never wanted to see her get married. I want to put her in the office here, do the work. I want to see her filled with the Spirit and live like that. And she, well, we all wanted that. That's our will. That's what are the things. Well, I think she should do this and this, right. But there's where we put our hand to it. Right. Yeah. We all wanted that. She said, well, we can't do that. Said she just won't listen to it. I said, wait a minute. We've raised her all we can. Now put her in the hands of God. Commit her. And I said, then when she does anything, say, Becky, darling, mother don't want you to do that, but I'm your pal. I'll stick by you. See, let her know that you love her. She's going to get somebody to love her. And it might be the wrong woman. See, I said, you be the woman does the loving. I said, honey, that sounds kind of crude, but people come everywhere and set on personal interviews and things. I said, I'm so common. We're common to one another because we're husband and wife. But we never let that happen. You must remember, this is the name of the Lord. So let's just commit it to God. And God and his people, as we close here in the last few minutes, he said, commit it to God. Believe it. Step out on it. Claim God's promise. At the end of that story, Brother Brown was relating that she ended up, God got a hold of her, and she ended up changing her ways and gave herself to the Lord and so forth. Claim God's promise. Just commit it to God. Believe it. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. He will bring it to pass, whatever you want. And the church of the living God, he said, accept it in a good heart, already fertilized in all the creepers and the rocky places and the stony doubts taken away, and in good, rich soil of faith, and believe it, commit it to God, and walk away, testifying that you have received what God has promised you. And questions and answers, 1954, he said, when I get these letters and they tell me, well, you can't do it just yet, there's this has to be done and this has to be done, then I feel bad facing the people. I don't know what to do, but one thing, I'll do this, and you are with me. I'm going to commit it to God and say, now, Lord, when you're ready, I am. Now, there's the battle. To just commit it to God and let God do something with it. God bless you. Now, let me stop right there and just make a little quick announcement. So, we would like to ask for everybody to make sure that the next two Sundays, I don't know what everybody's personal schedules are, but make sure that you can do your very best to attend the next two services. So what we're going to do is the next Sunday, during this Sunday school period, we're going to just take some time to explain the process of the upcoming vote and how we're going to do that. And then the following Sunday, we're going to plan to have the vote. So next Sunday, there will not be any Sunday school. Everybody will just come up here and gather here, and everybody together can listen to the process as it's outlined. And then I think that's it. That's all I wanted to share. God bless you.